Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 10th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm great, Taryn. Thanks for having me. I am charged up and ready to talk about some comics.
All right. BB Revengers. We actually haven't talked about the fact that Dan Gheesling was involved in this. I was a bit surprised when I saw that.
That was the biggest blind side of them all. I feel like everyone else that we saw that wasn't in that sneak peek, I kind of could see coming. Austin could see it. Jesse could see it. And then you see Dan and you're like, well, what is he supposed to be, like the Professor X of it all? And it's like, oh, he's the funeral director. Like, all right, I see what you're doing there.
I am the funeral director and you are going to die. I think that was the
line. And in this life, you are dead to me.
Yeah, that would have been better. I think Dan has been talking about how they were trying to get him to act, and it's not his forte. Really, though, Dan is saying he's like, oh man, I'm such a bad actor. Look how terrible I did in this thing. Is Dan playing a meta game here? Is he trying to pretend that he's like lost the touch and that he can't act? He's no good at lying anymore. He had a baby and now he can't play the game. This is all a game.
I mean, Dan's MO is ABM, always be misting. So I don't doubt that for a second. I think he's always trying to plant the seed for the future, no matter what.
There was an article about the whole Revengers thing, and there was an interview with Dan, and they like talked to the other people that did the Revengers, and they were all just like, oh, I'm so excited to meet Dan. Like, oh, it's Dan. I'm so, like, he's so awesome. And I was just like, man, they do another All-Stars, and Dan plays for whatever reason. He totally has it in the bag.
Well, we are talking to the number one Dan fan over here, so.
We are here to talk about the Big Brother 19 live feeds. We're going to be telling you everything that happened on them yesterday. So we start out the day here. The POV has not been played yet. Josh is talking about, what should I do this week? I'm still not sure. I don't know. Should I go after Paul? Should I not go after Paul? Should I wait until final three? Should I tell Alex? But what if she doesn't listen to me? What if I ruin everything and I betray Christmas and then everyone comes after me? I don't know what to do. What do I do, Puya?
I don't know. Maybe I should talk to you live feeders four times today and try and figure it out and then still not figure it out because I'm losing my mind. Yeah. No, Josh has had a rough time yesterday. Just playing all the angles in his head. I feel like, you know, I've been quoted in the past to say Josh has been woke. I think he's super woke now. I think he's just trying to figure everything out. I mean, we're so far at the end now. There's not that many factors to look at. There's not that many angles to look at. But as the day progresses, Josh's monologue ends up evolving more and more so. But before the veto, he is doing, as you said, he's just trying to figure it out. He apologizes to – he whoops to visit Jason. He apologizes to Jason's wife. He knows he has a feeling he's going to lose in the final two. Like, that's what he's thinking with Paul. So then he's trying to think about whether he should do it or not. But then he's worried about Alex and like if he can talk to her and how she would react to this. And then at the top of the tree of all this, Christmas is still the one person where he doesn't really think he's going to be able to turn on this because she's been so gung-ho to stick with the plan. Keith Nail up. You know, style. And then the fact of the matter is, at next week, he would have been on his own. So if he chooses to take the shot, and for some reason, it's a competition that Christmas cannot compete in, is not cleared for, he has nobody. He has to rest all of his hopes on the likes of Kevin. Or if he's able to turn Alex, then Alex, if Paul's the one he's taking a shot at. But there's just so many factors going in on his head. And it's just so close to the end that he doesn't know if he has it in him. He doesn't know if he can pull it off without being the next target.
Yeah, and this reminds me a lot of the Steve Moses conundrum where, you know, he ends up staying up like all night. He's like vomiting throughout the night. Like, should I evict Meg or should I evict, was it Julia? I don't even remember. But he ends up evicting Meg. And then Rob calls him a loser. But like he was very torn up about that decision. Ultimately, Steve obviously made the correct decision. But I think there are a large amount. People are saying it was Liz. Who can tell them apart? They look so similar. I don't know what happened there.
Oh my God.
So throughout this this update, I think I'm going to be making more Steve comparisons and ways that Steve went right and ways where I feel like Josh is kind of going wrong here. Even if he does cut Paul, I'm a little concerned about his chances. So we end up getting the veto competition. Feeds come back, and it was, of course, the comic competition, and Paul wins the veto. So there will be no turning on Paul this week.
Nope. Paul managed to close that door right shut immediately. By the looks of it, by the sounds of it, Kevin threw it. They were not really happy about the comics that they were assigned or that other people were assigned. I still am not able to completely get all of the names down. But from what I was reading, everything seemed apt. So I don't know where exactly they're upset about. Josh believes that Mark is the meatball, but I was so sure that he was going to get some kind of meatball iteration. So it seems like that's what he got. Paul definitely won this. It looks like Alex came in a close second. So at this point, they're pretty relieved that Paul got it.
Yes, I believe it was like 10 minutes to 12 minutes. So that was interesting. And then, of course, Kevin timed out at 45 minutes. And we'll go into that a little bit later. So Paul ends up talking with Christmas. He's now won the veto. He doesn't know what to do. He's very concerned. He's like, I'm not going to use the veto. That's for sure. But I don't know what to say to Alex. And I don't think this is a strategic thing. I think this is legitimately just like an emotion thing where just like he hasn't ever had to be like, yeah, I just stabbed you in the back. Paul he spent the longest amount of time in the Big Brother house of anyone. And he's never had to stand up and be like, I played you. And it's getting to him. He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, Christmas, help me. What do I do? What do I do? And so Christmas is like, Christmas just wants to, she is Paul's Santa. She just wants to give him everything. And so she's like, well, maybe you can just use the veto on Alex so you don't have to, you know, betray her. And then we'll just get rid of Kevin and that'll be fine. And Paul is like, no, we can't do that because that puts you two at risk. You know, like she'll take a shot at you or Josh next week. I can't have that. Yes, you can, Paul. Yes, you can. So they're coming up with a whole bunch of ideas, but none are really sticking. Puya, what do you think he should do?
I think at this point in the game, at the final five, like you really, there's no wrong with just being straightforward. The Brigade did this with Brittany. They pretty much said, Brittany, I mean, they kind of like laughed in our face at it with it. So like maybe don't do that. But at this point, you have what, 2-3 days? You got to just sit down and be like, listen, I need to bare my soul to you. I feel like I've done you wrong. But you kind of give them that, the soft breakup. You kind of, you know, tell them everything, tell them the facts, tell them it's not going to work out. But then you spend those remaining days trying to build them back up, trying to keep that bond alive. I feel like what the mistake Paul made last week with trying to put this facade on for Jason, if he continues to do this, the more people that are being blindsided like that, the more people are going to go there and put dots together and connect the facts. And that's not good for him. That is not good for him. And that will be his downfall if he wants to go down that route. What's funny to me is that Christmas, as you alluded to, really was like, well, then no, keep your promise. Put me on the block. We'll get rid of Kevin. And then Paul obviously notices this. I know he does, because then he really tries to play the martyr of like, no. That puts too much blood on you guys. I don't want that. And then like 3 minutes later, he's like, here's an idea. No. That throws you and Josh under the bus. Like Paul is milking it perfectly. He's playing Christmas like a fiddle. Where he's going wrong, in my opinion, is the fact that he's just really trying to get this empirical evidence and like trying to like plant a seed. Because his argument, if he is going to choose to say something to Alex, is, hey, Alex, if I use the veto on you, I'm losing all their jury votes. Which necessarily like true if he actually did do it, probably. But what he's not realizing is the likes of Josh are not appreciating this, because this goes back to last week where Josh pretty much was like, no, if you vote like with Jason to keep Jason, then it's all on me. Then they're going to think I was the one. Christmas was the one who broke the tie. No blood on you kind of thing. And then now he's like, well, no, we need to spread the blood. Like, I don't want to take all of it. We need to like spread it amongst us evenly. So that's still turning Josh off. So I feel like Paul used so much of his game capital, so much of his mental capacity in this game to make it this far. And I feel like the last week, week and a half, there's been blunders here and there. There's been trip ups. And this is one of the big ones, in my opinion. Just be straightforward. Just tell her. She might blow up. But hey, it's the game. She'll blow up. You think you're charismatic? Win her back over. You can do that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, keeping it ambiguous works up until a point. But if you are the person who is sealing their fate, you need to own it. You need to. You can pull. I mean, you're taking a page out of Boston Rob's book, right? You know, you're playing his Redemption Island game. Play a little bit of his All-Stars game. Man, it really hurts, but I got to do this to you. I'm so sorry. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. But you got to try. You know, he almost won that season. You just need to own it. And this is something that obviously, like, if we're comparing him to players like Dan or Derek, like, they would have no problem owning this, and they would be able to win the people back over after they did it. We saw Dan get a unanimous jury vote in season 10. This is part of the game. You cannot get away with just like fooling people. And this is part of it too. Part of the whole thing was that he was like, oh, I can't expose our alliance. I can't expose our final three because I don't want the people in the jury house to figure it out and start analyzing it. And it's like, what are you, stupid? They obviously are going to figure it out. That's what they do in the jury house. If you've ever been there, you'd know. Or if you ever watched the show, you would know. So like, come on, dude, you can't keep this a secret from the jury house. What are you talking about?
No, and let's play it out for a second. So first three people in were Cody, Mark, and Elena, arguably the three people that were the most adverse to Paul and his like maneuvers. So they're sitting there the entire time thinking, Paul's got this game. He's figured it out. He's going to play them all. So as the other people are coming in, especially if you've left them completely in the dark about you turning on them and you fooling them, how stupid are they going to feel? How dumb do you think Whistlenut feels right now? More dumb than he usually is, I'll tell you that. Same thing goes with Alex. Alex walks in, everyone's like, "Heh, you got caught, you got played, welcome to jury, here's a mimosa, deal with your pain." And it's just not good. I know that, like, he is making a mistake. His mistake last time was his jury management or lack thereof. I think it's the same thing here. I think this is his Achilles heel. And I think this is where we see, okay, maybe just a year in between was not enough for him because he's clearly not gone back to look enough. He's not been able to self-reflect on his actions before. And he's kind of doing a little bit of the same with the Davon-Jason comparison of the goodbye messages. And he just needs to be straight up. Again, it goes back to he's friendship. He's Captain Charisma, self-proclaimed. You can turn her back over. Why can't you? Why don't you think you're capable of doing that?
Yeah, and I think it speaks to his adaptability because I think that he has one mode, and that mode is, I am the vet, listen to me, I control everything. Obviously, he didn't have that in Big Brother 18. I'm still a firm believer that he did not play a particularly great game in Big Brother 18, but this time it obviously worked. He was the sole vet. Everybody listened to him. He was able to use friendship, but you got to have other modes too. And there is a very easy and clear mode, I think, for Alex. If you tell her, listen, you are by far the biggest threat in this game. You are the star of this season. And this is the winning move right now to take you out of the game. And I'm so sorry. I feel bad. Like you are, I love you so much as a friend. I gotta win. And this is the move. And this is me saying it. So like, I can't sell it. I'm not a good Big Brother player. Who knows? But like, there is a way to sell this. And Alex, we've seen time and time again, she is very easily sold on things. So, you gotta be able to do it. And he's very reluctant. He really just wants to avoid the awkwardness of, yeah, I just stabbed you in the back, actually. It's not going to work.
No, I think the allure to his game in BB18 for us as viewers was watching that slow evolve. Like week by week, we could see him picking new things up, learning and like adapting to that. The adaptability part was really big for him in BB18. By the end of the game, I felt like he really understood what was going on. He understood most of the mechanics of the game. Where what happened here is it was stagnant. He came in as a vet. Within the first 2-3 weeks, he was able to parlay that into this control that he had on the house. And he just rode that wave and there was no you know, ups and downs, no more evolve, no more climbing. One of the big things I feel like with him, so socially, he's got good banter. He gets along with people. That's good. He's a fun time. That's also good. Where he went wrong is he doesn't have that person-to-person connection, or he's not using that person-to-person connection. I feel like he could do exactly what you just laid out with Alex, and I think Alex would take it. From week one, Alex, her ego has been fed by the likes of Cody week one and so on. Everyone, even Josh yesterday, was like, Alex has been amazing to me. She's been straight up, straight shooter. You know, if everyone's calling this girl a straight shooter, if everyone respects this girl, do the same thing. Just tell her the way it is. She will appreciate it. She is a alleged game player. She likes to think she's a game player. She will appreciate the move for what it is, and she will forgive you when you're sitting at the end with the people that she has not liked and she has talked so much crap about in the last couple of weeks. But you don't do that, you're counterfeit. You don't do that, you're worse than all the other people, because at least the other people were yelling at her face. The other people were saying things that she had audibly heard either from your mouth, someone else's mouth, things had gotten back to her from Christmas, from Josh, from Kevin. Nothing's gotten back from Paul. So that's just shady. And that's just one of those things where, like, this is like fool me three times. Like, this is not fool me once, fool me twice. Like, you've definitely been, she's been dumbfounded by you. You don't want that. You don't want that on your hands.
Yeah. And I mean, this is the girl who is saying, I want to lose this season and then come back and win the next season. Like, all he needs to do is be like, look, you know, you're going to beat me. This is the winning move to take you out of the game. This is you are so good. This was the position. You were in the position that I was in last time, only you were even better than me because you would beat me in the end. And I am the Nicole right now, and you are totally going to come back again. You are going to be the robbed goddess. You're going to come back. You're going to win the game just like me. You're going to follow my path. Like, but I'm here right now, and I have to make this move. You are just too good. I can't beat you. I think Alex would eat that up. I think she'd be mad, but I think she would eat it up. And I think she would then campaign for Paul in the jury house, because she will want him to be the winner, the second best person in the house, right? Paul is the one that took me out, so he has to be the one that wins. Otherwise, I'm not the star of the season. I just got taken out by some bit player. So, I think that's the way he needs to go. And I just don't, he doesn't seem like he wants to do it. He wants to, as you mentioned, he wants to say, oh, Paul and or Josh and Christmas threatened to not vote for me in jury, so I have to do this, which just makes him look so weak. And I think she's going to hate that. She's going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, where is the Paul that I thought was here? Like, it's just, it's annoying.
Yeah, it's too out of character for him with her. Like, the rapport he's built with her is this aggressive, like, always on player who's sneaky, who's got her back, who's like getting information and bringing it back. If he comes at her like this, bringing up these two jury votes out of freaking five, like, this is not enough at this point. This is not enough to ease this over with her. She is not going to like this. And then if you let her go to the jury like that, she's just going to walk into Jason's arms. They're going to compare notes. The truth is out and you're exposed. So talk with her, mist her, hypnotize her, send her to the jury. She can fix stuff with Jason for you. Maybe then Jason will really, as what happened with the ET Canada interview, maybe then he'll really think that Jason was the liar. Just fix her and send her. Michelle Costa her. I don't know what he's not understanding with this. Just be honest. It's the final five. There is nowhere to turn at this point. You don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's another great point, the Michelle thing, because like if Paul had his choice, right? Like, he feels like he bamboozled Jason on the way to the jury house. If he was able to, he absolutely would do that to Alex. And then if he got a reward like Dan did in season 10, which is like go hang out with a jury member, what Dan did was like, here's the person I screwed over most. Let me go and face that and own up to it and like do my best to smooth things over. Paul would run from that. He'd be like, okay, who's the person that I owned the most? Okay, I'm going to go to Raven because she loves me the most. And then I'm just going to talk to Raven and tell her to talk me up in the jury house. Like, he's too afraid to face his enemies, the people that he screwed over. And that's really going to bite him in the end if he sticks with it. Josh is telling him, I'm not going to support this story, by the way. If you tell her that I threatened to take a jury vote away, I'm not okay with that. I'm not down with that. So, you know, Josh continues to fight against it. And again, when we come back to that Steve Moses decision for Josh, Steve Moses, he never said a word to Vanessa about the doubt he had. He made this decision. He was throwing up. He hid all of that. Vanessa had no idea how close Steve came to flipping on her that week. And then she trusted him so much that she protected him throughout the rest of the game and took him down to the end of the game. Josh, on the other hand, has been talking a lot and actively, openly saying to Paul, I'm not down with these plans. I'm not going to do them. And as much as we like to see that from home because he's standing up to Paul, it's not good for Josh because now he's saying it. He's going to Kevin. Kevin is telling Paul, Josh is talking about you. He's going to Alex. Alex is telling Paul, Josh is talking about you. Christmas is telling Paul, Josh is talking about you. I mean, at this point, if Paul doesn't cut Josh at Final Four, like he's insane.
Yeah, no, it's a big blunder if he doesn't do that at this point. That's the problem with being in the Final Five. Like, I think Josh's approach is somewhat smart because he's trying to rally something. He's trying to feel the water, see if there's any way he could be getting Paul out this early. But this is the problem with doing this. When you have a clear shot and you're shooting, you might as well hit, because if you don't, it's going to come back to haunt you. And that's what's going on right now. Steven Moses, what he did was on point because he kept it to himself and he kind of knew what he wanted to do. He just didn't end up getting that opportunity till later, but he like silently did it and it was great and he managed to reap the rewards. The problem with Josh is the more you muddy waters like this, the more you put things out there and the problem is people are still all individually outside of Josh, Christmas, Alex, and Kevin are looking at Paul as their ride or die. So you really can't trickle any information to any of them without it getting back to Paul. So it's one of those things where he should just keep it to himself at this point. I mean, it's too late now. It's kind of out in the open. The next shot he gets, he should take. As viewers, we love it. I loved watching these monologues. I'm sitting there and he's getting riled up and he's talking about Christmas and Paul not having his back. He's done everything for them, and they're just not looking at this right. He wants all the blood on them, and he's getting amped up, and I'm enjoying this. He's like, I will not have to. Do they think I'm an effing idiot? Do they think I can't connect the effing dots? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then he's like, I won't change. I'll stick by him. I'll be loyal. I'm going to stick by her and be loyal. So it's like, oh, you can't do both. You cannot do both. The cat's out of the bag now.
Yes. So they settle on, he's going to say, look, I can't beat you in the end and I'm going to lose jury votes if I keep you. Josh is not going to back that up, but it's probably not going to matter. They ultimately land on talking about Kevin as well, and how they're going to rattle him, which just like, God, are we still doing this?
Like, I thought we got rid of Alex. I thought Alex was going this week. What is going on? Why are we talking about this?
Christmas is like, I'm detecting that Alex has stopped trash talking Kevin quite as much. There needs to be a consistent level of Kevin trash talking. So Christmas wants to rattle Kevin by saying, look, I heard you want to bang me in the jury house, Kevin. You old man pervert. She says she's going to rape his soul with words. Christmas, lovely person.
Oh yeah, truly bringing joy to the house and all the viewers of all the land. No, it's effing ridiculous. And we're talking, I saw the words pots and pans again. Why are they still coming up? Stop with these things. Stop. It's Final Five. What benefit is this to any of you? Kevin, you guys rag on him for doing nothing, for a won nothing, achieved nothing. He's throwing all the comps for you. What do you want to rattle him up for? You want to just send him like loopy, like out of the house? I don't understand this at all, because not only, okay, so I've said it before, rattling people to get in their head before a competition, anything like that, sure. I can see that if you're trying, like, you know, the way Paulie tried to do it with Tiffany, I kind of understood where he was coming from. Ish, but then we're looking at it. Yeah, exactly. He was bred for this. But then we're looking at it and like, just look at the people and then look at the landscape. So you've got Paul, who I think I saw a graphic yesterday. I could be wrong. Someone please fact check this. Has he won 12? Is he one away from tying with Janelle for most comp wins ever? That's what I saw. Maybe it's wrong. I'm not sure. But he's won handily most of the competitions this year. Josh has won some. Alex has won some. Christmas was given to Kevin, has zero. What are you riling him up for? What is he going to do to you? He's literally not going to do anything to you. He's harmless. He's standing there, you know, trying to get some market placement going for Snickers, fume at the cameras. He's already lost his damn mind. Leave him alone. Leave the man alone. I feel like that meme from 2003. Leave Britney alone. Leave Kevin alone, for damn sake.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, Tracy's hoping Josh puts a stop to this. Can't believe the voice of reason is Josh. Unfortunately, Josh, who was initially against this, as he usually is, has sort of joined the party. He is going to be banging pots and pans, according to this plan. Christmas is like, I'm going to strike him real quick, and then you'll come in with the finishing blow, banging the pots and pans, yelling at him about his age and his family. Yeah, there's unfortunately no winners here, no clean souls. I have to think from Paul's perspective, because here's the thing: they're gonna have a conversation later in the day, Kevin and Paul, where Kevin is basically like, "I want to win the next HOH, but we'll talk about it. Maybe I'll throw it to you." Honestly, Kevin is going to throw. If Paul tells Kevin to throw this competition, he will. If Christmas and Josh go at him and quote unquote rattle him, if anything, that's just going to make him try for the competition, because he's like, well, screw you guys then. Like, it's completely counterproductive. I can only imagine that Paul's actual motivation here to put them up to doing this is to get Kevin pissed off at them and them pissed off at Kevin further so that they don't team up.
But I feel like it's already, the problem is, I would see that and understand, but it's already been done. Kevin was saying yesterday that if I'm in the final two with you, I'm going to stand up and say, you're the better player. You're the better person than I am. Like, Kevin is in the Paul camp already. Kevin already is like turned off by Christmas at this point. Him and Josh banter, sure, but he's still snitching about everything Josh is saying to Paul. Like, Paul has won. Paul has checkmated this guy. At this point, it just seems malicious.
Yeah.
It seems malicious. So yeah. It's rough.
And it's very annoying to hear, because it's just like he's doing everything he's told. Like, if anything, like, I know that's frustrating for some people. Nina in the chat saying, like, I feel sorry for him, but his game is nothing. He hasn't done anything. And that's true. But like, if anything, that makes it worse, because he's doing everything he's being told and he's still being chastised for it by the people that are telling him to do it. All right. So Josh is pissed off about this whole conversation about what do we do with Alex. So he has another rant to the cameras, and I've sort of like, again, I've kind of consolidated. He talked to the cameras like at four different points, but I've consolidated all of it. I can't believe the gall of Paul to say that I need to like take the blame for this Alex thing. He should be taking the blame. He should be taking the heat. What a disloyal person he is. I'm happy that I told Jason about our final three alliance so that he can spread it around to the jury house. Whoops, Jason actually thinks you're lying now, thanks to ET.
Shut it up.
He says, I'm going to stay loyal to this final three up until the final three. Then I'm going to cut Paul. And here's my plan. I'm going to expose our alliance in my jury speech. Puya, what do you think? What do you think of this? Because Josh is talking about this like this is his coup de grace. Like, this is my, master plan. I'm going to reveal everything to the jury. And they're going to be like, whoa, I need to vote for Josh now. I don't think it's going to go that way, though.
I don't think so. I feel like by that point, there's been discussions this weekend about, you know, live jury and if that's going to have any impact, if these jury speeches really like change anything. The truth of the matter is, once they're all collected there, once that last, the final three are doing their HOH and the rest of them end up in that round table to discuss things, they're going to have a look around. They're going to be like, okay, so Paul was aligned with this pair, this pair, this pair. Which pair is still in the house? Josh and Christmas. Oh, I guess that was his final three. Boom. Like, that really doesn't take that much to get to, especially when Matt and Raven felt like they were tied with him to the end. And then Alex and Jason thought the same thing and they're both sitting there. Who was Paul really aligned with? Those two. End of discussion. Like, it's really not that big of a grenade to throw on the jury. It's really, 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 really not. What Josh would have to do, I think, is Josh should do what Paul doesn't want to do and just start throwing truth bombs from now at this point. Just because it's been like it's out in the open. Paul's getting these whispers already. If he wants to wait till that HOH and then like tell Kevin everything, I don't know. But waiting till final two jury speeches, I really don't think that's a good idea, just because I really don't think it's going to have any impact by then.
Yeah,
if he wants an impact, he has to do it soon.
Yeah, and you have to imagine, if he just cuts Paul is going to be whispering to the jury the second he steps in there, like telling them everything, trying to poison them against Josh. And then if Josh comes out like, guess what, guys, here's the real tea. I had an alliance with Paul and Christmas this whole time. And all of those things that I did that you were mad at me about, I didn't want to do them. I didn't want to. They made me. Christmas and Paul made me do these things. And then Christmas is going to be sitting there like, yeah, sure. And they're going to go, oh, yeah, okay. Christmas was the shot caller then. Oh, all right. We'll vote for Christmas. Like, I'm not super solid on this. I really feel like, first of all, if you got the shot at Final Four, take it. Take Paul out. Then you have a case to make. And if you do make it to the end and you're able to cut Paul, don't say, oh, here's the secret. We were in an alliance and I didn't want to do all those things. Say, yes, I had an alliance with Paul, but I've been riding it out. I've been using him. I've been doing the dirty work because I knew I was going to cut him here. And this is the gameplay I made. Christmas was in his pocket. I couldn't get her to turn, but this was the move I was going to make. Like, just be straightforward with that. And then I think you have somewhat of a shot. But the way that he was talking about it, and like, again, all the emotion that he's shown throughout the season, it makes you look weak. It makes you look like you were somebody else's tool to be used. And that's not a good place to be when you want the jury to respect you and respect your game. And that's such a key to winning their votes.
Yeah. Confidence is key when you're up there making this impassioned speech. One example I have is from last year's Survivor Australia. If anyone hasn't watched it, check it out. Season 2 has been amazing. But in that final two, the person that ended up winning really was, like, to all, for all intents and purposes, to all of us, seemed like they were drawing dead. And they got up there and they laid everything out. They were confident in their delivery. They believed everything. They said, you have to look like that. You have to believe what you're selling. You can't well up. You can't feel weak. You can't, like, have pauses. So he needs to do that. He needs to make sure they understand that, hey, I was looking at getting Paul out sooner. He just happened to win veto that week. I have been waiting for this opportunity the entire game, and I finally got the chance at Final Three, and I took it. He needs to make them real, because they're all smart. Not necessarily. I don't want to say they're all smart enough. I don't want to give them that much credit. But they're all going to come to that realization at that point. Player to beat this entire season. Paul has been the key. Paul has been number one power ranking the entire way through. Josh took him down. Was it dumb luck? No. Josh needs to articulate that he has seen this coming for a while, and he just tried everything he could, and this was the chance he could do it, and he took that opportunity. And he needs to deliver it confidently. I think the biggest problem with Josh in a final speech like that is the emotions of it all. I'm worried. Are they going to say something to rattle him during the questionings? Maybe. If anyone there is going to get impacted by these questions in a certain type of way, it's going to be Josh. I just hope he's able to collect his thoughts and remind himself that, listen, it's just this one opportunity. This is my 8 mile. I need to get all this out and just hope for the best and just deliver. Just deliver.
Yeah. And like, if we're talking about, like, what should Josh do? Once he gets to Final Four, as soon as he knows he's safe at Final Four, maybe he wins the veto, maybe he's taking Kevin out, maybe Kevin is definitely going out, or something along those lines, get in Kevin's ear, tell Kevin the story of your game, have Kevin go to the jury house to at the very least get your case out there. And the story of your game should be, craft a narrative, just like, in Survivor Australia, there was definitely a narrative crafted. Craft a narrative of exactly what Puya is saying. I bided my time. I did all these things. I was waiting for my moment to strike Paul, and I used him to get to the end because I knew he would get me there, and I got him to trust me, but secretly I was going to backstab him the whole time, and all of that stuff. That is how you win the game. If you wait until the final speech, I think it still might be effective, but again, it's very risky to wait until the final speech. People usually have made their minds up. You really need to get it out. Maybe you're like on the block, or maybe you're HOH, or maybe you've won the veto and you need to like give a speech that the jury will see, or tell Kevin on his way out, tell Christmas on her way. It doesn't matter. As long as you're safe and you make it to the final three, you have to win anyway. So it doesn't matter if Paul and Christmas are mad at you. Just like get the story out there. But I think based on what Josh has been telling us, I think his plan is he's going to get to the final two. He's going to either cut Paul and get there with Christmas, or he's going to go with Paul. And either way, his story is going to be, the main points are going to be, here's my secret. And I believe somebody, Nina, Shelby in the chat pointed this out. I've got a secret. I've been a super fan all along. And people are going to be like, yeah, we knew that, Josh. We knew you've told us all, and none of us were surprised the first time. And then he's going to go, I've got another secret. I was in a secret alliance with Christmas and Paul this whole time. And they're going to be like, yeah, we figured that out. Duh. It was obvious. And he's going to be like, and I played a really straightforward and honest game. And they're going to be like, what are you talking about? Because that's what he said too. He was like, I hope they respect my straightforward and honest game. And it's just like, no, Josh, no. I really think he's going to really mess this up if he gets there. And we might end up seeing Christmas miss rape Kevin's soul with her words as our winner of Big Brother 19. So it's really, yeah. Anyway. So Paul ends up talking to Kevin. As I mentioned, Kevin, he wants to win HOH next week. It says he'll protect Paul. He says, man, like Kevin wants Paul to win this game. Basically, that's what he's saying. Once we get to final three with Christmas, you're totally going to win it. It's going to be great. We're going to celebrate. He also lets Paul know, I'm colorblind. That's why I couldn't win that comics comp. I couldn't do it. I'm colorblind. I couldn't see the change in the colors in the clouds. So that's why we're going to see Kevin time out there. But it really does seem like, unless Kevin is playing this well, that Kevin has resigned himself to just being Paul's tool in this game, and that he's perfectly willing to take Paul to the final two, to lose to Paul, to help Paul win the game. Which, man, even if he is lying, like, he's still way better to take to the end than Josh at this point. Like, for all of the information that has been talked about with Josh, you know, they also, like, Paul is like, maybe I should win the HOH next week. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk about it. But Kevin just seems so all in on this final two with Paul. Kevin, he's so good for Paul's game. Again, like, it is such a no-brainer to take Josh out of the game at final four and to keep Kevin, even if you need to win the veto and be the one to do it, Paul, you need to take Josh out. Christmas is so fed up with Josh at this point. I think she'd totally understand. You have her so wrapped around your finger. It doesn't even matter if you're the one to do it. Just take him out of the game. Got to do it.
Yeah. It's pretty much the way it looks like when you're trying to get to that final three spot. You got to look at like three factors, in my opinion. How likely are
Priya, you're a bit of a robot here. Maybe if you bounce out and come back in, we can get you fixed up. So yeah, I mean, it's just like Kevin is, he's basically the new Raven. I mean, he had Raven, he has Alex, and he has Kevin, and he has Christmas. All four of them, all willing to lose the game to him, all willing to take him to the final two, and I think he would beat all of them in the final two. And yet, Josh is the person that he is talking about taking to the final two. Puya, you're back. What were you saying?
First things first, works fine. Sounds good.
Perfect.
All right. So I was saying, I feel like there's like three factors you need to be looking at when you're trying to make that transition from the final three to the final two of who you're going to take or who you need to be taking. So first things first, the persons you want to get there, you want to try and be able to beat, right? That's first, you know, captain of your own ship. So with Paul, if he takes Kevin and Christmas, better believe he's got the best shot of winning the final three, like the competitions. Yes, the last part's a crapshoot, but I feel like since he's been through the ringer, he's probably going to be doing the studying. He's probably going to have like some kind of read. He's talked with most of these people, I'd say more so than the rest of them, to like maybe understand what's going on better. Maybe. And like his nerves are going to be a lot more composed because he's been there before. So that's one thing. Then there's the other two things are going to be, what's the jury's perception going to be like? Do you think this jury is going to be looking at comp wins, or they're going to be looking at social play, or are they going to be bitter? So you got to be able to read the jury. And like these things, you put these like three, four puzzle pieces together, that'll give you the best view of like who's the ideal person to take with you. Now the Kevin versus Josh thing, Josh can beat Paul in part one of the HOH, perhaps part two of the HOH, perhaps. Josh has been the most verbal about not wanting to go through with something Paul throws out there. Like this whole thing of, can I tell her that I would lose your vote if I veto her? Josh says no. Everyone else said, yeah, yeah, Paul, do it, do it. You want me to do anything for you? Like, Josh is the only one right now who's like shown a little bit of pushback in comparison to the others. Josh has won the most competitions once Alex is out after Paul. And Josh is probably the most able to beat him in the final three HOH and cut him out of Kevin and Christmas left. So you put all these things together, it should be so obvious to Paul that if he has control, Josh should be the one to go. It should be very obvious. Now, will he make this cut? I don't know. I still think there's the part of him that feels like, I don't want to lose that jury vote, and Christmas might not like that because Christmas, you know, we promised her we're going to go to the end together, us three. She's been working towards us three. So I think it goes back to Paul's weakness now is really worrying about each jury vote as they're going out, not collectively thinking about what he needs to do to get there. And he's doing these overcorrections with his jury votes, which I don't think is going to work out well anyways. So this is what I said earlier. I feel like his mental capacity got used up trying to like control the entire game from Jump Street. And now that he's at the end, and now that it should be very clear what's going on, he still has a couple blind spots. Josh is his biggest blind spot this game so far.
Yeah, I'll probably talk about this tonight as well, but I've come up with a new theory about like what's happening here with Paul. I feel like, you know, Paul, what Paul has done so well all season long is he's set up these pieces and he's gotten everyone to just be like, you know what, if I stick to the plan, I feel like I'm so well set up that nothing can go wrong. I can't deviate from the plan. I feel like Paul has fallen victim to his own strategy. He came up with this master plan. This is what's going to get you safe to the end. This is what's going to get you to win the game. Just don't deviate from it, because if you deviate from it, then you're going to lose. And he set up this whole fantasy, and he's fallen for it himself. He's like, this was the plan. This is what's kept me safe. And now he feels like he can't deviate from it, even though it's so blatantly obvious that he needs to. And he's not able to adapt, and he's become one of his own puppets. He's past Paul is puppeteering present Paul, and he's going to lose because of it.
I like that. I really like that. I'm excited to hear you expand on that later tonight. Man, that's very interesting, because it genuinely seems like, because like we've always said, fluidity is part of this game. Adaptability is part of this game. You've got to be able to recalculate everything week in, week out, and see what the next best move is. Sometimes what the best move would have been for week six is not going to be the best move when you get to week six. So you've got to be able to have contingencies in place. And he's done I still cannot emphasize how great of a job this guy has done to get to the final five and have three people, not counting himself, be his ride or die. And the one person that he thinks is his ride or die is the one person that's turning on him, and he's just not able to see it. You crafted such a masterpiece. Don't shit on it now. Like, you're so close. Just don't do it. It could happen, man. It could happen. He could get clipped. But can I just preface, outside of this Kevin stuff that's been going on that really puts a rage in me, I gotta say I love how this season ended up turning right around, because 2 weeks ago, it was just foregone, and we were just talking about nothing, pretty much. It was just a matter of, how is he going to get the check? Is he going to have Big Font, Ario, like Comic Sans? Who knows? But now there's enough variables going around. There's enough like doubt in place that we can just speculate, and I can't wait to see what happens. We got 10 days left. It could go anywhere. Will he smarten up and fix his own mistakes and lead himself to the end the way he's been doing the whole season, or will the meatball come right underneath them and slip in and take it all? I don't know.
I feel like you can judge how good the season is going by the length of the morning updates. And they've been pretty long the last few days, because there's so much to talk about and so much interesting stuff to get into. This has really been a lot of fun. I completely agree. I've been enjoying this. And honestly, I was even mostly enjoying throughout most of the time when it was pretty slow. I was enjoying just like watching how Paul was dictating these people. So I'm really enjoying the season. And this is, I think, basically no matter what happens, we're sizing up for an exciting finish. Maybe we're not happy with the winner. Maybe it is someone like Christmas or something like that. But even if it is, it's probably going to be exciting getting there. And honestly, even if Paul has been, it ends up being the winner, I think he's made so many mistakes that it's going to be an exciting path to get there anyway. So, looking forward to it all.
Yeah. No, I cannot wait to see how it goes down. Josh win, Paul win, final three, at least the finale is going to be somewhat exciting, most likely. So it's Big Brother. It's just like pizza. Even bad pizza is pizza, and I love pizza. So
everyone loves pizza.
There we go.
Yes. And when all of a sudden Kevin comes out of nowhere and wins that final three HOH and cuts Paul, we're all going to be like, what? All right. So
we can dream. It's allowed. Yeah. Okay.
I needed to get some fan fiction in here. All right. So thank you everyone for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's been happening on the feeds today. We will be live tonight after the episode airs. We'll be live with Matt Eisman to talk about everything that's going on. Very excited to talk with Matt. He's a really, really funny guy. So even if you don't know who this guy is, he's awesome. He'll be great. He'll be great on the podcast. Don't worry about it. Tune in. We will be live tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern with the LFC Roundtable podcast to go into detail about everything. And Brent can yell at me and I'll be right. And, you know, there's a whole thing. Nina's asking who will be on the Taran show next. I had a really, really interesting guest. I managed to talk to Netta Kalantar from Big Brother Canada. Yes.
Yes. Good.
Yes. Very interesting experience. She went from queen to one of the most hated players in Canada. So there's a lot to talk about with Netta. Even if you're not a watcher of Big Brother Canada, there's a lot of interesting stuff to get into there. So make sure you check out the Taran show on Tuesday. That will be dropping very early in the morning on Tuesday. So lots and lots of fun stuff to check out. Thank you so much for joining us throughout the entire season and now and through to the end of the season. It's been so much fun. So thank you, everyone. We will see you next time.